After 67 years of publication, Mad Magazine's going into reruns. That's right, Alfred E. Newman won't have to worry about coming up with new content for Mad Magazine. A number of publications citing unnamed sources say that after the fall, Mad will only have new covers of magazines that are distributed, but with vintage content, and that there will be no more newsstand sales of Mad Magazine. Mad is an extremely influential humor publication for baby boomers like me. We grew up on Mad Magazine. It's parodies of movies and television programs. It's horrifying cliches, the cartoons of Sergio Aragonés, Spy versus Spy. Mad Magazine was a must-read for most young people of my generation, and that means the generations that followed were also heavily influenced by Mad Magazine. I'd like to hear from you your favorite memories of Mad Magazine over the years, what you liked best, what still lingers in your memory as some of the funniest satire that Mad Magazine provided. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me is a historian of Mad Magazine, Maria Reitelbach, who wrote Completely Mad, A History of the Comic Book and Magazine. Maria, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, hi there. It's nice to be here.
So share with us what you think of the most important legacy of Mad.
Well, I think you're right. I think on those of us who are baby boomers, it taught us how to think skeptically about what was going on around us. We grew up during the prime years when consumer culture was being manifested and becoming the mainstream culture. And Mad Magazine really took aim at consumer culture in all different directions and definitely made fun of it when it was trying to take itself so seriously.
Who are the founders of Mad, so to speak?
I would say, clearly Bill Gaines, who was the publisher, and Harvey Kurtzman, who was the original editor.
And what were their backgrounds?
Well, Bill had a really interesting background because his father was one of the inventors of the comic book. And he was an educator, and his idea was that comics would educate people. And he did picture stories from the Bible, picture stories from science. At the same time, he was kind of an awful dad. He really gave Bill a hard time and was never satisfied with anything that Bill did. So when he died in a boating accident suddenly and Bill inherited the magazine when he was 21, Bill just totally went on a tear and changed it all around, changed the name from educational comics to entertaining comics, and started publishing things like Tales from the Crypt and Weird Science and Two-Fisted Tales and Mad Comics.
And the rest is history. Maria Reitelbach with us, author of Completely Mad, A History of the Comic Book and Magazine. Again, I'd like to hear from you. And you don't have to be a comic professional, but what your most lasting memories of Mad Magazine are from your childhood or your teen years. Maybe you continued to read the magazine. I actually bought it off a newsstand for my son a few years ago, and his copy is plenty dog-eared. He found it very funny, even in recent years. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. You remember the Mad Fold-In, where it created a totally different picture than the one you were initially looking at? No fold-out. It was a fold-in. I also remember they had a little paper 45 records they'd sometimes put in of comedy records of music. 866-893-KPECC or our AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Also with me, cartoonist and longtime illustrator for Mad Magazine, Tom Richmond. Tom, thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What are your feelings about this news about the future of Mad?
Well, certainly, didn't come as a huge surprise. I mean, magazines aren't exactly doing real well these days, and that's probably Mad's chief problem, is that it's a magazine. Nothing they can do about that. But, you know, over the years, the content and the type of humor has maintained a high level. It's just that it hasn't been finding the eyes of readers like it used to be, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and even 90s.
Well, and of course, it was a very different popular culture landscape then, where all of us who were growing up, we watched the same television programs. We saw the same movies. There was no Netflix or Prime for films. There was no, you know, cable with all the hundreds of channels, everybody consuming different things, no YouTube. So it's a very, very different world. And even young people don't necessarily have the same cultural points of reference to easily parody. We'll continue with your phone calls. We talk about the future of Mad Magazine. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Back after a live update from Hedy Lyn Erdes. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Long before there was a National Lampoon, before there was a Saturday Night Live, there was Mad Magazine, which influenced a whole generation of funny people, from writers to comedians to satirists. So much of the humor that would follow the baby boom generation was heavily influenced by Mad Magazine. It was a top-selling publication. You could get it on the newsstand, the local supermarket or drugstore, or you could subscribe to it. DC Comics, which owns Mad, announced, "We will continue to publish Mad with a mix of new and best of content from the archives. We will also continue to publish the end-of-year issue, as well as books and special collections. The magazine will no longer be on newsstands beginning this fall, but it will continue to be mailed to subscribers." So DC indicating it's largely going to be archived content. They've got decades worth of funny stuff. But of course, Mad, during its heyday of the 1960s and into the early 1970s, was really very much of the culture of that time. 866-893-KPECC. I'm joined by Kit Lively, joining us from Dallas, a writer for Mad Magazine. Kit, thanks very much. Your thoughts about this big cutback in the publication?
Hey, thanks very much. Have I wandered into a trap here?
Definitely not.
I'm the sort of guy that somehow finds himself wandering into windowless vans here and there. So I just wanted to make sure I was in a safe.
You're safe. You're in a safe space. Absolutely, Kit. So what your feelings about this you know, end of an era with Mad?
It's very shocking. I would even go so far as to say, sort of a depressing in a way. Now I do come from Texas, so I'm you know, quite accustomed to being depressed.
But it's all relative.
This even darkens the clouds even further, I think.
What do you see as the influence of Mad on comedic writers like yourself, or, you know, other people working in comedy today?
Oh gosh, for me personally, when I first saw Mad, which was probably around the age of 7 or 8, I can remember it was like a bomb went off in my head. You know, I felt portions of my brain wake up that I think were probably not ready to wake up until maybe after puberty or something. And it was, I knew immediately that that's what I was meant to do, was to, you know, draw and write funny things.
All right. Kit Lively with us, writer of Mad Magazine. Al Espinosa writes on the page, "My dad would buy Mad Magazine in Mexico, and I love flipping through the pages, even though I didn't understand English or a lot of the subject matter at that time. I love Spy versus Spy on the edge of the pages, which didn't need much translation." Spy versus Spy was a spoof of the Cold War era, and no dialogue between the characters in a word box.
bubble there was just all, funny, like Wile E. Coyote versus Wile E. Coyote kind of humor. Let's talk with Maurice in Brentwood. Good to have you with us, Maurice. Your thoughts about Mad Magazine.
I grew up with that magazine, and one of the most wonderful things before my dad got transferred to go into Germany, and we had to move in Germany in the late 60s, was my grandfather gave me every copy from the beginning to what he had, which is a huge stack, but we had to put them in storage before, and I wouldn't see them until we came back from Germany. And unfortunately, they got flooded, but it was, what a wonderful publication that was. There's so much stuff I didn't understand, but kind of opened my mind up to different things.
Yeah.
And as an adult, it was just too cool. Spy versus Spy and all the other stuff in the background. It's sad to see that it's going to change. I hope it doesn't change too much.
Yeah, well, it sounds like not going to be much new content. Maurice, I appreciate it. Thanks very much. 866-893-KPECC. My next door neighbor when I was a kid in Inglewood in the apartment next door to ours was Kevin Fagan. And so he and I grew up and we shared our Mad magazines. We'd sit down, we'd read them, we'd laugh together. And Kevin went on to be the cartoonist responsible for the syndicated Drabble comic strip. And I don't know how influential Mad might have been on him. I assume quite a bit, because we sure read Mad magazine a lot when we were kids. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Mike in Monterey Park, your favorite memories of Mad?
There's so many. You mentioned one of them, the fold-in on the back page. And my brothers used to buy it, so for me, when I got to the age where I could buy it and be the first one to fold it in, that was really exciting. But one of the features they had one time was, you know you've made it when. And I'll never forget, they said, you know you've made it when you have a 7-car garage and your Corvette has to sit out in the rain.
Yeah, that would be it. Mike, thanks very much. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Rob in the Mid-Wilshire District, your favorite memories of Mad?
Larry, in your lead-in, you hit two of them. The vinyl tuck-in records.
Yes.
And the Star Trek takedown. And I'll tell you, that vinyl, one of those vinyl records, I played at my dad's stereo when we lived in Alaska, and I thought it was 85% flatulence. And it was interesting. It was funny.
I can still hear the music. I know exactly which one you're talking about. It was supposed to be Alfred E. Newman burping on that. And I can still hear the lame music that was in the background behind it. I played it so many times, it stuck in my head.
Well, unfortunately, it also stuck to the needle on my dad's stereo, and I got in so much trouble about that, and I never was sure whether I was listening to the record or I was listening to what I'd done to my dad's stereo. And on the other side of it is, on the Star Trek thing, when they beamed down Spock, and he had all these body parts coming out of inappropriate parts of his orifices, and he said he beamed up to the captain or Scotty, I think we have a problem.
Yeah, I remember that was Star Black or something like that was the spoof that they did. Rob, I appreciate the memories. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. TRH tweets at AirTalk, Mad Magazine was a rite of passage in my family. Every kid got a subscription for a 12th birthday. So much fun. 866-893-KPECC. Also with me, editor-in-chief of the Satire magazine, Weekly Humorist, and founder of Humorist Media, Marty Dundix. Marty, thank you for being with us. You were with the National Lampoon for a decade or so. How influential was Mad on the Lampoon?
Oh, very. It was very influential on the Lampoon. I mean, Mad started in the 50s, and Lampoon didn't get started until the mid to late 70s. And they kind of took it up a notch into more of an adult, longer fiction, a lot more writing, more dense text. And Mad Magazine stayed very art-centric with writing from the beginning until now. Very consistent tone, very consistent voice, art always absolutely top-notch. It never really went up and down the way that other major magazines did over, this amazing run of 67 years. And maybe it's not the end. Hopefully, there's a lot of Twitter chatter about saving Mad Magazine. So I know I just resubscribed yesterday. So maybe
you've done your part. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done my part. People can subscribe. I was very influenced. My dad was a huge Mad fan in the 50s and 60s, and he was a big Don Martin fan.
Yes.
And so I had all these old books when I was little that were way above my intellectual capabilities, but I would soak them in, and then I eventually got my own subscription when I was in my maybe 11s or 12s. And I had that subscription until I was graduated from Syracuse.
All right. Marty Dundick's with us, editor-in-chief of the satire magazine Weekly Humorist. You know, one of the things that Mad did so well is it had just a bit of the transgressive, like you need for good satire or pointed satire, but it didn't go so far into outrageousness that parents would confiscate Mad magazines and leave their kids without it. 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back with more as we remember Mad Magazine in just 1 minute. Mad Magazine is going to cease distribution at newsstands. It'll continue to be mailed to subscribers with new covers, but sounds like most of the content is going to be from the archives, not new content at Mad. Obviously, the magazine business has changed dramatically. American Humorist has evolved a great deal, but Mad Magazine in its heyday, post-war America for baby boomers, a huge impact. I think you could argue the effect on American comedy has continued to this day, particularly in satirical work. We're at 866-893-KPECC as we remember Mad Magazine. Nikki in Pasadena, what's your favorite memory of Mad?
Hi, Larry. I think this was from maybe the mid-80s, and it was a fold-out, like a centerpiece, and it was called the Organization Board of the United States Government. And it had column after column after column, complicated, lots of little departments and units. And then it got to the United States Postal Service. And under that, it said Bob and Joe.
I love it. That's perfect. Nikki, thanks. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Steve in Sherman Oaks, welcome.
Hi, Larry. I just want to let you know I'm an acting teacher at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills. And I was so fortunate to have a student join our class a couple of years ago. His name is Larry Siegel, and he was the staff writer for Mad Magazine. And so we were just incredibly, you know, fortunate to have him bring in so much of his writing, his comedy writing. He did a lot of things other than writing for Mad Magazine. And we were able to put a lot of his sketches and little scenes on, and he was just an incredible writer. I haven't seen him for a while. He was quite sick, but what a connection. And like everybody else, I just adored Mad Magazine as a kid.
Well, and you were able to see firsthand the kind of talented people who made it such a must-read for those of us. Steve, I appreciate it very much. In Sherman Oaks, we bring into our conversation an artist and writer for Mad Magazine and president of the National Cartoonist Society, Jason Chatfield. Jason, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Just your thoughts about the cultural significance of Mad in its history.
Yeah, I think it goes without saying that, I mean, based on the calls you've been getting, that its influence was wide and far. It influenced a lot of comedy writers and comedians, including myself. I read it when I was a kid back in Perth in Western Australia, and it was sort of my window into the world. And I was lucky enough to finally become a contributor to Mad. And see that influence had you know, sort of come to fruition and turned into a job.
Well, given that you're an artist, can you speak to the Mad artists and the aspects of their work that you think were most significant?
It was genuinely one of the best collections of American artists, in fact, international artists, that you'll ever find, I think, anywhere in history, including who you had on earlier, Tom Richmond. You have this amazing collection of people who basically influenced an entire several generations of artists now, people like Don Martin and Mort Drucker and Sergio Aragonés and these artists who had their own styles that were so different than anything else that you would find in any other publication. That, to me, was probably the biggest takeaway, apart from the incredible writing, was the artwork. You know, I learned to draw by reading Mad.
Wow. That was your school. That is fascinating.
I never went to art school. I just subscribed to Mad.
So, Jason, before I let you go, how are you feeling about this announcement? It's a little squishy, but it sounds like not much new content will be coming.
That's right. Once they're basically going to see out the subscriptions with old content, and then they'll discontinue the magazine. What is most sad to me was that, I mean, it's tragic that there's going to be entire generations growing up now without Mad as part of their world. And the reboot in California was actually going a long way to finding an exciting new and young audience. But unfortunately, DC fired their editor this January, who is at the head of that venture. So unfortunately, it took a bit of a nosedive, and here we are.
All right. Jason, thank you. Really appreciate your talking with us. He's president of the National Cartoonist Society, contributor as an artist and writer for Mad Magazine. Let me take another listener call here. Let's see. This is Marlene in Silver Lake. Marlene, your memories of Mad.
Oh, hi. I wish I'd tuned into this earlier. Mad really set my tone for my sense of humor. I never missed an issue. I think my mother finally got rid of them, unfortunately. But my fifth grade class at the University of Chicago Lab School loved Mad Magazine, and we actually performed a version of East Side Story, which was a mashup of West Side Story. And I think I can still remember a verse. Let's see if I can remember it. Life is a whiz in America. Eddie met Liz in America. Thought she was his in America. Well, that's showbiz in America.
They did parodies of The Sound of Music. So many others. Marlene, thanks very much. Let's talk with Rob in Laguna Hills. Your memory of Mad Magazine. Rob, you there? No?
Yeah, Rob, I'm sorry. Yes, I love Mad Magazine. I'm the one that remembered The Sound of Money, they called it. But I really want to agree with you that we've lost our common sense of references. You know, everybody can watch exactly the news they want and not hear the news they don't. Everybody can have so many films and television shows to choose from. You can't just assume everybody watched, you know, Ed Sullivan or whatever.
Yeah.
Star Trek. And that's the sad. That's the problem. It's impaired our ability to communicate with each other. But I love Mad Magazine. Read it in the 60s and 70s as a kid, and I will miss it.
All right, Rob. I appreciate it. Ken tweets at Air Talk, my dad laughed so hard once at Spy versus Spy, he got a hernia from it. Oh, Ken, what a lasting memory of Mad Magazine. Aaron in Pomona says, my dad kept his Mad issues from the 1950s, so I grew up reading those. Then I bought my own issues in the 90s, Aaron said. So it was not just a connection to my dad, but I also learned a lot about the culture of the 1950s and 60s. That's Aaron in Pomona. Michael in Long Beach says, I was introduced at 8 years of age by my mom while I was homesick. And then I brought the magazine to my Catholic school and was reading it after a test one day. I got in trouble. My nemesis turned me in. That's Michael in Long Beach. And Ned in Brentwood says, I'm 75. I remember when Mad first came out, my brother brought it home. I read it all the way through like a comic book. And read it until my early 20s. It taught me to be skeptical about TV and movies. That's Ned in Brentwood. And Mark in Burbank remembers an insert that was a parody of TV Guide called TV Guys with all kinds of fake names of shows. Mark, thanks for that. From all of us at Air Talk, have a great afternoon.